Well, good morning and welcome to the Hamlin Road Baptist Service broadcast on Sunday, the 29th of March. It's so good to have you tuning in on your phone or on your TV. Thanks everybody for your positive comments about last week, and hopefully this week will be equally as helpful to you. For those of you who are tuning in for the first time, just a little bit of what to expect. Jonathan's going to lead us in a few songs, and then we're going to have a kids talk, a Bible reading, a prayer, and then Johnny, our pastor, is going to bring God's word to you. So there's something there for all the family. So if you don't have them all gathered around, can you go and do that now and really enjoy this time together? Can I just encourage you during this time to engage in the songs and sing along, even though it's a wee bit awkward. There's an opportunity even to say the Lord's Prayer together later on in the service too. Can I also encourage you to comment either on YouTube or on Facebook to say hi to others and even share something that God's been teaching you or something that you find helpful in the service, just to build each other up. Can I also encourage you to share this with others right now, and so that they would hear something of the good news of Jesus this morning. So before we get going, let's just open our time in prayer. Father, as we gather here this morning, I pray that you would help us to focus on you, that you would free us from distractions and from things that have preoccupied our minds in the past week. Father, would you free us from channel hopping or scrolling on through. And Father, may this service be used by you for your glory, so that many would hear the good news of Jesus. We pray this all in his name. Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. I wonder how you're feeling this morning. I wonder maybe if you're a wee bit weary of being at home already, even after this 1 week, or maybe you're enjoying the whole idea of sitting in your house right now. Well, whatever the case, one of the things that's a bit challenging about this particular situation we find ourselves in is that we don't actually know when it's going to end. And for some of us, that can be a slightly foreboding thing. And it's good to remind us that there is a God who is everlasting, who will always be with us, who will comfort us when we are in need, and who gives us strength when we wait and hope and trust in him. Let's sing the song this morning, Strength Will Rise. I encourage you again to sing even when you are in your houses. It's a weird thing to do, I know, but it really encourages us when we hear that people are doing that, because it makes it feel a wee bit less weird for us. So let's sing together now, Strength Will Rise, as we wait on the Lord.
We will wait upon the Lord.
it's amazing how some of the most loved hymns that have been written in a context of real sorrow and distress for their writers. Horatio Spafford wrote this next hymn we're going to sing in a context where he had just been horrifically bereaved all in one day, and yet he was able to turn to the gospel truths that reminded him that his sins are forgiven, that he can live for Christ, and that ultimately it's not the grave that is our goal, but the sky. This is the blessed hope, the blessed rest of our souls at all times. It is well.
Oh, Lighthouse Children. It's really great to have you along with us this morning. I wonder, have you been out for a walk with your family this week and noticed anything different in people's windows around where you live? Children across the UK have decided to put rainbows in their windows to cheer people up as they're out for their daily walk. Here are a few of the examples that children in our church have made this week. Whilst a rainbow does make us smile, God has an even more joyful message to share with us about the rainbow in the Bible. God sent the rainbow after a terrible flood. Noah and his family and two of every kind of animal had to go inside a huge ship called an ark and stay there for 40 days while God sent a terrible flood on the earth. Kind of a bit like lockdown, but imagine being in your house with two of every kind of animal. It certainly wouldn't be very comfortable. At the end of the flood, God sent a rainbow as a promise to Noah that he would never send a terrible flood like that again. It's recorded in Genesis 9, where it says, "I have set a rainbow in the clouds as a promise between me and the earth." God would never send a flood like that again, and he has kept that promise. This is just one of the many promises in the Bible that God has made with his people and with us and has never broken. God has kept all of his promises. For example, he promised Abraham near the very start of the Bible that he would make him a father of many nations. This was long before his wife Sarah had even had one baby and must have been a very strange promise for him to make and for Abraham to believe that God would keep. And yet God made him the father of many nations through all the generations of children that came after Abraham, which included Jesus. God also made a promise to the Israelites when they were in captivity in Egypt that he would bring them out of slavery, and he kept that promise. It says here, God remembered his promise with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and he led the Israelites out of Egypt across the Red Sea, through the desert, keeping them with food and water and keeping them safe along the way. God kept that promise. In the New Testament, Paul reminds us that all the promises that God has made are kept through Jesus. Not just one promise or 10, but God can keep an infinite amount of promises. He is that powerful and he loves us that much. Paul also reminded us that we can do everything through the power that God gives us. Paul went through some really tough times as well, some really tricky things, and yet he could say, "I can do all this through him who gives me strength." That is a promise that God gives to us today, that we can go through tricky times with his strength. Paul also reminded Timothy that we should have a spirit of power and love and self-control. So that's a promise from God that when we're finding things tough, he will give us the power and the love to show to others. See, God keeps every single promise he has made. And whilst the rainbow does make us smile, it is there to remind us of the important message that God keeps his promises. He has not broken any from the Bible, and he will not break any promises for you. He keeps every single promise he makes. So now I have a challenge for you, Lighthouse. At home this week, do you think you could make a rainbow for your window? And not just put a picture of a rainbow up, but maybe make some kind of a sign that shows one of the promises from the Bible that God has for you and for the people walking past your window this week. Imagine what joy that might bring to somebody. Your beautiful picture of the rainbow will make them smile, and the promise from God will give them strength if they're finding their day tough, or will make them know that God loves them even through these tricky times. So after the service today, you'll have to get out your pens and your felt tips and draw a fabulous rainbow to pop in your window. And keep an eye out this week as we put a few more rainbow activities online for you to have a go at.
Let us join together in prayer to our Heavenly Father. Can we say together the Lord's Prayer, no matter where we are, whether we're on our own or with our family, can we just take time to say this together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever.
Isaiah chapter 40, verses 21 to 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, then he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff.
To whom would you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens, who created all these. He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God.
Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
A few months ago, I discovered an old hymn that I haven't heard for a very long time. I was looking through my old hymn book and I found these words. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. And I thought it would be a good one to include this morning. Some of you younger people might not know it, but it's not difficult to get onto. So let's sing together.
Blessedness, what a this Sunday morning, we've been exploring the theme of beholding our God. And in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah the prophet is prophesying about a day when the children of God will go into exile, when they'll go into captivity, if they did not follow the ways of the Lord. And for some of you who know church history, you know that the children of God did indeed go into Babylonian captivity. And as they would find themselves in captivity, Isaiah speaks to them about getting their eyes back on God. That in the midst of their despondency, in the midst of their isolation, in the midst of their helplessness, that they themselves needed to get their eyes back on God. And as you join us on this Sunday morning broadcast, I wonder, is that what you need to do to get your eyes back on God? In this theme that emerges in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 21 to 31, we see a number of things that we need to do to behold our God, to get our eyes back on him. And the first thing is to acknowledge that he is the all-powerful creator. That he is the all-powerful creator. Listen to what the text says. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. Who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in? Who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness? God is saying to this exiled people, to this captive people, to this isolated people, to this battered people, to this bruised people, I am the all-creator God. Get your eyes back on me. Get your eyes back on my power and my greatness and my glory and my majesty. He is the all-powerful God over nature. But what about human history? What about Babylonian kings? And what about princes and rulers? Well, verse 23, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness? Scarcely are they planted, scarcely are they sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when the wind blows on them and they wither and the tempest carries them off like stubble. If you know much about human history, you know that kingdoms have been raised up and kingdoms fall. There have been great men and women of the past who have flourished in leadership roles, only to quickly fade and pass away. God is saying, I'm not like that. I'm the all-powerful creator over nature and over the nations and over rulers. And so he asks the exiled people, the scattered people, the isolated people to consider a few questions about him as the all-powerful creator. Verse 25. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? He says, lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created all these? He's encouraging this people in exile. He says, wherever you are in your captivity, look up into the night sky. Do you see the million? Do you see the trillions of stars in the sky? Who created all these? God said, I did. In fact, he knows each one of them by name. Consider his incomparable majesty and power this morning. He brings them out, their host by number, calling them by name, by his greatness and his might. And because he's strong in power, listen to this, not one of them is missing. I want those words to encourage your hearts this morning. As we behold our God, he is the all-powerful creator.
Places I will call. Incline your ear to me anew, and hear my cry. For I come before your throne. Yet full forgiveness meets my case. I stand redeemed by grace alone. I will wait for you.
But secondly, Isaiah speaks prophetically to this people in exile when he says that God is the all-powerful helper. They needed help. They were in deep distress and captivity. And so verse 27, he speaks, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord and my right is disregarded by my God?" They were asking questions of, "Where are you, God? When will you come and save us? When will you rescue us? When will we be delivered? When will we be redeemed?" God speaks, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. He's bigger than Babylon. He's bigger than all of the armies of the earth. He's the creator God. And he does not faint. He does not grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable." I want you to think about this today. God never gets fatigued. He never grows tired. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. God, who watches over us, is an ever-present, all-knowing, all-powerful creator and helper. And Isaiah pictures even the most vigorous, the strongest, the most powerful that there would have been even in the midst of Babylonian captivity. He says, verse 30, "Even youths," or young men and women, "even youths shall faint and be weary." Those in the peak physical condition, even they will run out of strength. So who would they look to? Who should we look to? Verse 31, but those who wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. This little word, wait, in the Hebrew text is not about sitting idly and doing nothing. It's to be in a place of confident expectation that God is faithful to his promises and that what he says he will do, he will do. So he speaks prophetically through Isaiah to this exiled people, but those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. For some of you who are Christians and know that the people did tragically go into captivity in Babylon, it would be many years before they would experience freedom from their captivity. They would have to wait for a long time. But God was faithful to his promise, and that he would come indeed and deliver them. And that brings us to our third thought for this morning, as we behold the greatness and the glory and the goodness of God, that he is the all-powerful creator, that he is the all-powerful helper. Thirdly, he's the all-powerful savior. Because you say, who was going to do this? Who was actually going to have the strength to come and rescue this captive people? Who can come and rescue me today? Who can come and help me today with all the questions I have in my exiled state this morning, in my discouraged state this morning? Who can come and help me, you say? Well, just a few verses before, Isaiah has spoken about who he is. He's the all-powerful Savior in chapter 40, verse 3. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill will be made low, and the uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the flesh shall see it together. Who was Isaiah speaking of? He was speaking of God. God's one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would come to earth, not just as the all-powerful creator, not just as the all-powerful helper, but as the all-powerful savior. And this was confirmed when John the Baptist was doing his ministry, and he looked up and he saw Jesus coming over a mountainside. And in John chapter 1, verse 29, he said this, "Behold, look, see the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And I want to encourage you this Sunday morning, like the exiled people in Babylon, to get your eyes off your circumstances, put them back on God. He's the all-powerful creator. He's the all-powerful helper. But most importantly, he's the all-powerful Savior. I'm going to hand back to the team who are going to lead us in our concluding song.
Behold,
Well, can I thank you all for watching and for commenting and sharing this video. We do hope it's been an encouragement to you in whatever situation you find yourself in today. Just to let you know that if we can help you in any way, please do contact us through our Facebook page, or you phone us, or you can email us. And also, if you're not a Christian, and if you'd like to find out more about the hope of Christianity and how Jesus is relevant in your life today, please do get in touch, and we'd love to send you some resources so that you can explore that further yourself. Let's all pray together. Let's all pray, George. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen. Amen. George Ace.